In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
At the beginning of his sermon last week, Father John David explained that the gospel from the 14th chapter of John is the beginning of a larger conversation called the Farewell Discourses. This conversation continues from the 14th chapter of John to the 17th chapter. Do not worry, this sermon only deals with today's gospel. This week, the gospel is the beginning of the chapter of 17, and therefore we might call it the beginning of the end of the farewell discourses. In this passage, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And if you listen carefully, it is clear that Jesus did not have what Martin Buber described as an I-thou relationship. An I-thou relationship is a relationship of respect and love between two separate beings. Instead, it seems that Jesus experienced the reality of being one with God and wanted to share that experience with us. We are called into this most intimate, loving relationship of the unity of God. Jesus ends his prayer by saying, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given to me, so that they may be one as we are one." Last Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension. As we read today in the lesson from Acts, that as the disciples were watching, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. When I was younger, I imagined the Ascension to be like Star Trek. After all, this is about as close as you come in Holy Scriptures to beam me up, Scotty. Ascension occurs 40 days after Easter and 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is next Sunday when we will be celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. This 10-day pause between Easter and Pentecost has been called Ascension Time. During this time, the disciples who had been with Jesus throughout his ministry and after the resurrection must have begun to wonder what was next. Would Jesus keep coming back to visit intermittently? Would he come back and establish the kingdom of God? What was this new phase of the Jesus movement going to look like? Bishop Deci pointed out that this odd in-between time for the followers of Jesus mirrors our own time. After the Ascension, we are told that the disciples returned to Jerusalem. They went to the upper room where they had been sheltering in place, and they waited. Like them, we have no idea what will be next. As the bishops and others begin planning for the renewal of public worship, perhaps even as early as July, he says that we have come to understand that we are going into a church that will not be like the church that we left. We are going through an experience right now that will change us, and that means the church must change too. And what will we become is not yet clear to us. We who have lived through these days of sirens, isolation and separation, hospitals overflowing, and too many people dying, how do we proclaim the love of God to the world that has lost so much? How do we proclaim hope and faith and trust in God? I wish I knew. This morning, the front page of the New York Times reads, U.S. deaths near 100,000. An incalculable loss. I do know that getting back to normal cannot happen. I also believe that creating a new normal in the future should not happen. What I do know is that love is always in the present, and God's presence is always eternal. Eric Fromm, in the book called The Art of Loving, calls love the answer to the deepest need of humanity, the need to overcome separateness, to leave the prison of aloneness. Fromm describes the love of two people as a union under the condition of preserving one's integrity, one's individuality. He says that love is an active power, a power which breaks through the walls which separate us, a power that unites us with others. Love is the paradox of two beings becoming one and yet remaining two and being one. The love of God is different, for God is love. And this love of the God who is love goes far beyond the love of the two becoming one. It is the love of everything becoming one. In this love, there is no me or you or him or her. And especially there is no them. In the powerful love of God, everything is us in union with God. It is a love that calls us to understand that our welfare, the welfare of the world, and the welfare of all that is in our hands. This love of God calls us to create stories of love, stories that reflect the God of love, and stories that create space for love to become manifest. One of the things that I have discovered while staying safe at home has been the BBC television series Call the Midwife. It is a period drama series about a group of nurse midwives working in a poor neighborhood in East London in the late 50s and early 60s. Each episode begins and ends with a narration read by the amazing actor Vanessa Redgrave. The last episode that I watched ended with this narration. Not all of us can choose what we give up. The things we love are taken or were never ours at all. Life is not defined by what we let go, but by what we let in. Friendship and kind words, frailty and hope. To be human is to be imperfect. And to accept that is to thrive. No path is always strewn with flowers, but therein lies the power of each fragile, tender bloom. That pretty much sums it up, so let me say it one more time. Not all of us can choose what we give up. The things we love are taken or were never ours at all. Life is defined not by what we let go, but by what we let in. Friendship and kind words, frailty and hope. To be human is to be imperfect, and to accept that is to thrive. No path is always strewn with flowers, but therein lies the power of each fragile, tender bloom. In the name of love, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.